As soon as I saw Sophia, the same thing came to my mind. So, there were wonderful days down at a camp meeting. Well, I'm so happy to be here with you. As you can tell by my accent, English is not my first language. So, we're going to work together, okay? And I'm so happy. You know, I grew up in a really big church back in my country, about 600 members or so. And then I became a pastor in Mexico, and then I have too many churches. But most of the churches were about this size. So I really love these churches. And brother, I really enjoy your story. You remind me those days when I was in my country as a pastor, seeing whoever we request them to do the children's story, they come and prepare everything. It was a bless for me too. Thank you very much. And we're going to keep you in our prayers for this surgery that you're coming. And I'm happy to be here with you. And I remember that I came, well, I didn't come all the way to the inside the church, but I went around the parking lot because I used to be the pastor of the Maranatha Church. As you remember, because I was on the lobby right there, and I saw the picture that you have there. And we gathered in the same church that I guess you did once or sometime. So... And we were looking for a new place, and we were looking around, and I thought you have there was a big church, but I really like the place. I mean, it's really neat, and I really like it. So we're happy to be here with you, and my wife Eunice and my daughter Elisa. Elisa and Eden, they know each other for a long time too, so we feel at home, and that's really good. So let's close our eyes and have a quick prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day. It's Sabbath, and we've been enjoying this day and knowing that you are with us. We're about to open the Bible. Please talk to us.
Amen.
Let us see Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, I was telling you about my first years as a pastor back in Mexico. You know, I never imagined to be here, to be honest. You know? I was doing the seminar back in Mexico. I kind of know some English because I spent a couple of years here when I was a teenager. And then I was wondering, I always wondered, and I was told my wife, why did God let me learn English? I'm not saying that my English is very good. I'm just saying that when you are in a country that they don't know, most of the people don't speak English and you speak a little bit, you feel like the king, right? Anyways, and I always wondered what I'm doing with this English. And I never expect to be preaching in English, to be honest. Everything starts with a devotional that we have an MSDA every Friday, and they ask me to come and I start doing some little things in English, and then some of the things that I've been doing. But it's a challenge that I like, you know, to be honest. And today, I was preparing everything for today, and something came to my mind. Do we have the chance to choose to be a mentor? It's like, do you carry a sign here, I'm willing to be your mentor? I don't think we do that. And it's even harder because sometimes you don't want to be one. I mean, us as a pastor, we expect to be some kind of mentor of people, especially youth. But to be honest, it's not something that I'm looking around for, you know? I'm not like, hey, everybody, I'm here to be your mentor. But I remember something that happened in my second or third year as a pastor. And those little things that you don't realize that you can do in behalf of someone. There was this teenager who was, I think, in high school, and he was, like, leaving from church. And at one point, and I didn't realize until later, that I like to talk to them. I like to ask too many questions, by the way, and I like to hear what they have to say. So asking questions and hearing what they have to say and eating with them and drinking soda with them, just those little things help sometimes. Things changed a little bit for him. And of course, we spend a lot of time praying for him. Anyways, today, at this very moment, he's one of the pastors in his hometown. And one day, he called me and he knew that I was here in this country by now, and he called me and we started a conversation, and he just told me three different moments in our relationship that he told me that I changed his view about the church. I'm not going to tell them those right now because I'm not going to preach about myself. I'm just telling you that at a certain point, you don't choose to be a mentor, but you have no choice. You have to be one. And I'm sure that all of us here, at a certain point, we became mentor of someone. And what a responsibility that we have, don't you think? Because people is like looking at you, expecting from you, and sometimes you don't even know what to do. And I was checking what a mentor means, and I just want to read something for you that I found: a trusted counselor or guide. It's just a little explanation of what a mentor means. And my question is: who could be a mentor in our Christian journey? Maybe a good pastor, a good friend, a professor, someone from church, one of the elders, youth leader. Who could be a mentor for us? But this morning I want to propose to you something different. What about if the Holy Ghost, how you call it? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
It's always hard for me to choose. In Spanish we just have one word. Well, two words together, Espíritu Santo. But in English I've been reading different, you know. Let's call him Holy Spirit. This morning I want to propose to you the Holy Spirit as your mentor. How? Well, let me tell you something. I've been enjoying reading about the Holy Spirit in the last couple of months. From the Bible and, of course, from some books. But how does the Holy Spirit work with us? And this is something that I'm going to ask for you. Are you willing to help me to read some from the Scripture? Because sometimes when I read, you know, I get confused. Can someone please read Luke 13, 20, and 21, please? Let's open our Bibles together. And then we're going to start reading some little things that hopefully they're going to help us to understand how the Holy Spirit can help us to be, how does Holy Spirit work with us as a mentor? Yes, please.
You said 13, 20?
Yes, Luke 13, 20, and 21. Are you? Yes, please. Please. Okay, thank you. Have you ever baked? Oh, man. You know, I used to work in a mall. I never pronounced the name of the store really quite good. But have you ever eaten pretzels in your life? Yeah. Have you been in Southside, how do you call the mall right here?
Southridge
Mall. And they have a blue sign with a pretzel. Mm-hmm. How you call that kind of that store? Auntie Anne's. Well, I spent a lot of time over my life working at Auntie Anne's. And I became one of those pretzel rollers. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know how to do it. And I have a friend that we work together, and we mark the time how much we spend doing it. So one of the funny things is that you can tell when, because we have to mix the dough, water, flour, and the yeast. And you can tell when the dough didn't have any yeast on it. Two ways to see it. First one, rise. Didn't rise. And the second one, the color was different. So when somebody new came to the store and worked with us and it was supposed to do the dough, we easily know when they didn't put the yeast on it. So we're going to, if you ever baked before, you know how important the yeast is. We're going to use that example as the Holy Spirit working in us, okay? Working as a mentor for us. Now, let's put something together. Jesus is showing how the power of God is working within or inside of ourselves through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's say something. Let's read again this My brother in the back, he helped us to read it. Let's read it real carefully, and then we're going to change to another place in Luke. Let's read again. It's Luke 13, 20, and 21. Okay. What shall I compare the kingdom of God? That was the question that Jesus made. By the way, Jesus made a lot of questions. Good one, of course. It is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until worked it all through the dough. Now, let's change our Bible. Let's change a few pages. And now let's go to Luke 17. And let's read. And somebody help me, please. Read verse 20 and 21, please. Who's willing to help? Please.
Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst."
Do you realize what Jesus is saying right here? You know, we expecting the second coming of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I do. That's the reason we call Seventh-day Adventists, I guess.
Amen.
But the very first moment that you choose Jesus as your Savior, the kingdom of God is coming to your life.
Amen.
But there's something that we need to keep in mind. As soon as you and I receive the kingdom of God in our hearts, because we take Jesus as our Savior, we cannot stay the same way.
No.
By the way, I'm not supposed to be like checking if somebody's changing, you know? That's just Jesus. I'm here just like you. I'm dealing with stuff just like you do. I'm dealing with some things that I wish they can be gone by now, just like you. But as soon as you receive Jesus in your heart, the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Amen.
And this is something really good, because we don't have to wait until the second coming to make sure that Jesus is living with us. Now, as you know, as Christians we know, Jesus by himself cannot live with us, because he's on heaven right now. He's the who's the person that he sent to live with us? The Holy Spirit. Now, when we put these things together, the gist on the parable that we just read, and now that we know that the kingdom of heaven is here with us, within, now let's put the parable of the yeast, let's separate that for our understanding right now. How the yeast work? Well, I remember when I was working in that same place that we have to set, as soon as the mix is done, we took the dough out, we spray some pan spray on a bowl, and then we deposit that dough on that bowl. And then we put it on the top of the oven for about 30 minutes. And you can tell, after 5-6 minutes, how the dough start to what?
Rise.
And if I remember that the instruction of the manual said that after 30 minutes, you have to use that dough. Because if you spend more time and then the dough becomes so sticky, sour, fluffy, I think is a good word to describe. So we have to use it. How do we know that the yeast is working? Because it's
rising.
You can smell it too. Thank you. But there's no noise that we can hear that the dough is rising. We cannot hear anything about it. We just see it. We just smell it. We can feel it. And if you are brave enough, you even can taste it. Let me tell you a little story that happened with me a couple years ago. I was finishing my first year in the seminar. Man, that was amazing. I remember my first classes. I enjoyed so much. And I have a professor that became my mentor. But at the end of the semester, he came out with this. He told us this. You're going back to your places. Okay? You're going back to your places. People who knows you better than I do will notice if the Holy Spirit is working in you. After one semester of Bible studies and keep studying and studying the Bible. So, if no one tell you that something is changing in you, there's something wrong. So I went back home, Christmas time, working on doing pretzels, by the way. I spent too much time on that store. Anyway, but it helped me to finish the seminar and get married, by the way, too. So, and I went back home and started working, doing my things, and I was waiting for someone to say something. To be honest, I was like, who's going to say something? Who's going to say something? And I spent, 7 weeks on Christmas break? Almost 8 weeks. And I didn't hear anything from anyone. Neither from church. Pastor, no elders, no one. No one. And I was like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm supposed to be on the seminar. Should I get back? It's not that I'm expecting someone to judge me, but I was hoping that something happened inside of me. And the very last week, someone really close to me came. And she said, by the way, it was my mom. And she's like, you know, I've been looking at you in the whole Christmas break. And, you know, she knew me, of course, for quite a long time. And she's like, well, there's something. I don't know what it is, but there's something. And I say, oh, God. I'm not done yet. But at least someone, I don't know if it was true love or something, but she said it to me. And I was like, oh, well, maybe the Holy Spirit is working in me.
Amen.
I haven't finished the race, as Apostle Paul said. I'm working in it, but I'm sure that people who work around you, who knows you better, can tell that the Holy Spirit is working with you.
Amen.
People who you work daily, your family, your relatives, just whoever works, whoever lives close to you, they can tell if the Holy Spirit is working with you. And let me tell you something. If no one haven't tell you anything, don't worry about it. When I say don't worry about it, it's like don't live with the words of others. I'm saying that you have another chance to try again and to let the Holy Spirit work with you. As I do every single day. Because there's sometimes I don't want to do anything, just run away and get away, far away from people. But that's one of the things that the yeast do to flour, to the dough. Start working in silence. And that's how the Holy Spirit work with us. Silence. Doesn't make any sound. Maybe doesn't smell anything. But people can tell. And this is something good. The second thing that the Holy Spirit, how does Holy Spirit work with us, is that we cannot do anything by ourselves. I mean, you can wake up this morning and say, I'm going to be good today. Have you ever tried that before? Oh, man. Too many times. If you can help me with your fingers, maybe I can count how many times I tried to do it that way. We can choose to be good. We can say ourselves, you know, today I'm going to do good. Pick whatever. Tell the truth. Don't use those kind of words that we don't use, basically. Or whatever you want to say. Name it. You don't wake up in the morning and say, well, you may wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And you might do good during the day. But in order to continue working on that, you need to get, I will use this word, power from outside. Because there's nothing good inside of us. Nothing. You know, the psychology says that you can work with yourself to become better. And I heard those things too many times. But I'm sure that the only way that we can be better is if we let the Holy Spirit work with us. So that means that even if I try, and I'm trying to do good, if I don't get help from the Holy Spirit, whatever I try is not going to give anything. Not for the praise of the Lord, not for myself, for good, not for everybody around me. Let's open our Bibles again. Can somebody read, please, John 15 and verse 5, please? John 15, 5. Yes, that's. Help me to read it, please. Please.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's the word. Let me use this. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up in a small town in my country where that little town How do you call those places where you sell plants? Nursery? Yeah. Well, we have something like that. So my dad knew how to manipulate plants. I'm not talking about vines or nothing like that, but there's some little things that you can compare with each other. But one of the interesting about plants is that you can combine two plants to put it together, especially avocados, mangoes, those little things. I remember my dad working with avocados. And I remember that he took a piece of one avocado and a little branch and planted, or I don't know the word, but wrapped it with plastic and put it together and then work with it. And after a couple months, you may see some flowers and then expecting avocados. But one of the interesting about this is that the little branch is the one that will make the avocados as we want them. But if that little branch is not connected with the main plant, nothing will happen. So we can be good. I mean, I don't sing. I saw a guitar in the back. Who plays the guitar here? Okay. I tried to play the guitar too. My brother plays the guitar. Somebody might sing. Somebody might be better preacher than I am. And no problem. But if we are good on something, but we don't belong, or we don't stay with the main plan, we can be the best branch around this church. But we need to be connected to Jesus in order to do something good. Now, let's go back to the statement that the power comes from outside. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that we never... let's read it. I don't want to make mistake right here. Sorry. If somebody want to read it for me, please.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Mm-hmm. But the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Okay, thank you. That was the very last phrase I wanna take it. We need to renew day by day, and then we renew as a Christian by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That means that if the power is coming from outside to inside, we have to refill, if we can use that word, refill daily, every day. Mm-hmm. Some people do it in the morning. Well, that's okay. Some people want to do it in the middle of the day. That's good. Some people want to do it in the afternoon. It's even good. But because there's nothing inside of me that can make me good. I need the external power coming inside me. And I need to refill daily. My question for you is, you been refilled today? Amen. I been refilled today?
Amen.
If you did, praise the Lord. Amen. But if you haven't, we still have a chance today.
Amen.
The only thing that we need to do is just pray the Lord. And say, you know, please refill me. I've been praying in the last couple of weeks about the Holy Spirit working in me. And let me tell you my experience in a couple minutes. Maybe you're expecting a pastor to do all, as the Bible say, as a regular basic. Every day. But let me tell you something. The other day somebody asked me, what is the hardest thing for a pastor to do? Do you have a guess? What is the hardest thing for a pastor to do? Well, in the Hispanic churches, some people say, well, dealing with people. And I know we have some Hispanic people here. I mean, that doesn't mean too much, but it might be. Or prepare a good sermon. Or visit some people. You know, I've been visiting a lot of people in the hospitals and nursery homes. And I remember once that they asked me to go with a family and tell them that the father of the household just passed away. They found it in the street, lying on the street, because he had a heart attack. And they called me and said, would you be able to go to the family and tell them about it? Man, they might be hard. But I sat for a moment and started thinking, you know, for me, what is the hardest thing? To believe that because I'm a pastor, I be refilled just, being Christian is just an automatic thing, you know? Expecting for me, because I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to be just the top Christian, you know? Just because I'm preparing a sermon doesn't mean that I'm studying the Bible for myself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if it happened to you, but it happened to me a lot of times. So when I see that that I have to refill daily, that makes me think, my little experience with praying for this Holy Spirit, made me think, how many times, how many days, I'm going to say this, how many weeks I wasted without being refilled by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I've been asking for forgiveness. Because as a pastor, a person of influence, how many people I've been treating bad just because I wasn't refilled by the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. I've been praying for that people. I don't even remember who got hurt by myself. Just because I wasn't refilled by the Holy Spirit. I've been praying for them. I've even been praying for my family, my close family, like my wife and my daughter, and for my close family, my parents, my siblings. Maybe we haven't realized the importance of being refilled by the Holy Spirit. It happened to me. And I feel so bad about it. Now that I understand that if I get refilled daily, it's not that I'm going to be better. At least I can be a spiritual Christian, you know? Mm-hmm. Did I say it right?
Yeah. Because
I'd be a Christian, but what about a spiritual Christian, you know? There's a lot of difference, and we can talk about that another day. Now, let's go back to the point. The first thing that the Holy Spirit work, how the Spirit, the first thing that the Holy Spirit do in us is working in silence. The second thing is that the power is coming from outside. And the last very thing is that the work begins in our hearts. Do you remember what the Bible says in Matthew 12, 34? For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Wherever is in our hearts are the things that we're going to talk about. You know, in the Hispanic churches, when we talk about with teenagers, there's something that we always found. If they like to play soccer, football, you know, soccer, football, you're going to hear them about talking. Those are soccer teams and names that they don't even know how to pronounce, you know. Or maybe they like music, they talk about music and whatever. So whatever is in our hearts, those are the things that we're going to talk about. Imagine, be refilled daily by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. What are the things that we're going to talk about? I'm not telling you that we cannot have any kind of conversation. What I'm saying is that when the Holy Spirit is working in us, when the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, our conversations, even those conversations that doesn't have to be anything with religion, like working, we have to work. We have to talk about working. We have to talk about the daily things that we do at home. Even those things are going to be marked by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you this little thing. In order to talk about the Holy Spirit, in order to talk about the things that Jesus wants us to talk about, our hearts need to be sanctified.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I remember when I was growing as a teenager, I didn't realize all these things together. But to be honest, for me, it was really hard to be a Christian. And I'm honest with you right now. It was really hard for me to be a Christian. I grew up going to church. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because I didn't understand at that time how easy it is to be a Christian.
Amen.
Why is so easy to be a Christian? It's not about obey the commandments. I mean, that's just the result of something else. It's because if we let the Holy Spirit work in us, being a Seventh-day Adventist, being a Christian, is going to be something joyful.
Amen.
You're going to enjoy it. It's not going to be like myself. I remember when I was on about 7, 8 years old, we have to take the bus to go to church. And I remember that I was so afraid to my friends to see me with Bible. I don't know if you ever experienced that. And I was carrying my Bible like under my arms this way. I didn't want them to see it. And something had to, I was so happy when winter came. I mean, it wasn't that cold, but wearing a small jacket so I can put my Bible inside my jacket. Some people could see it. Then I realized how easy it is to be a Christian. When you let the Holy Spirit work with you. Now, let me finish with this. Is the Holy Spirit working with you? Are you letting the Holy Spirit work with you? If you do, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But if you haven't had the chance yet, this is the chance that God is giving you right now. I don't know you. I know we belong to the same family, and that's really good. Makes me happy. But let me tell you something else. The good thing about being Christian is that if you fail in something, in that very same moment, you can pray and ask for forgiveness and for help. And let me tell you something. One of the prayers that we can make to the Lord that is going to be answered in the very first moment you finish is when you request the help from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today, as we finish and close, let's pray together for the Holy Spirit. Not just as a community, as a single person, as an individual. And let the Holy Spirit do what He likes to do the most. Work in us. And let us experience one of the wonderful things every Christian has to experience. That in our lives, the name of God be praised, worshiped.
Amen.
That the people can see you. People can hear you. People who works around you can say, well, there's something happened to you. Tell me about it. And then you can tell them, I just let the Holy Spirit reveal myself this very morning.
Amen.
And He can do the very same to you. Would you like to join me in that prayer today?
Amen.
What about if we sing? I've been thinking about, what is your name, brother, with the guitar?
David.
Do you think you can let me use it? Can I use it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, please.
Let's sing a wonderful song together, okay? Maybe you know the song is, I don't remember the name. name of the song. I know the song in Spanish, but I don't remember the name in English.
Sing it, sing it.
Okay, do you remember the song Side by Side? I know the song in Spanish. I don't remember the song in English, to be honest. Does somebody want to come and tell me to sing it? I go with you over there.
I don't sing in public. You know.
Okay, no problem. Do you know the song in English?
I don't. I can help it.
I know how to sing
it
in Spanish. Okay. Si alguien sabe español, cantemos, okay? Okay. Okay. Do you want to stay seated? Or you want to stand up? It's up to you,
stand
okay?
Up.
Oh. Por nuestro Señor, unidos en verdad, le adoramos con amor. Siempre Jesús nos guiará. Vamos al cielo, Jesús nos espera. Hay un lugar para ti. Contigo yo quiero cantar en el cielo. Vamos, hermano, a lograr al gran capitán, habremos de seguir, la gran victoria cerca está. Sin vacilación, al cielo vamos a ir, que nadie falte allá. Vamos al cielo, Jesús nos espera. Hay un lugar para ti, contigo yo quiero cantar en el cielo, vamos mi hermano al hogar, junto al Salvador, alabando con fervor, oh si ya estaremos allá.
Remind me the wonderful day that we're going to be together
yes.
in heaven
awesome.
Soon. Yes.
Yeah,
yes. You know, let's pray together. I'm going to be praying, but I'm going to be silent for a minute. Listen to me, of course. I'm going to tell the Lord, please listen to the voice of those who want to tell you something. And if you are willing to ask for the refill of the Holy Spirit. In that very moment that I be silent, request it. And I'm sure, by the name of Jesus, that he will respond.
Amen.
In that very same moment.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Wonderful Jesus, thank you. Thank you very much for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you send for us in order to help us to be ready. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you've been working with all of us. Thank you for this wonderful day that we have time to gather together, learn, and remember how much you love us. Now, I want to ask you, by myself, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And at this very moment, I want to make a pause. Please hear what the people have to tell you. Lord Jesus, You promise in the Bible that if we pray as we should, and at this very moment we request in the Holy Spirit with it, you will answer in the very moment. Thank you. Thank you because we know that you are refilling our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we finish this wonderful service, as we sang about being in heaven with you, be with us. Help us live the life that you want us to live. Bless this congregation. Bless the children, the adults, all those who have something to pray about it. Please bless them. One day, soon, very soon, we will be together with our wonderful and lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you and Brother David, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for all. Yes. Next time I will bring mine, okay?
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Sabbath. We're not going to sing the last song. No, we just sang that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.